The Nazca Lines, found in Peru, also known as geoglyphs or ground drawings, are characterized by a massive series of lines that run parallel for miles while also being wavy and crisscrossing. They often form into one of over 300 different geometric patterns, including 70 animal and plant forms. Perhaps the most well-known and intriguing etching is that of a humanoid figure nicknamed the Astronaut. These lines are virtually impossible to see from the ground, but they seem to have been made to be interpreted from the sky. Were these shapes made by the Nazca civilization meant to serve as messages to their gods, some sort of astrological calendar, or something else entirely? Is there a connection between the Nazca lines and extraterrestrials? The Nazca lines have similarities to modern-day crop circles and even Stonehenge, which from the ground seem odd, but from the air seem to be messages, mirror images of constellations, and star maps that we can't ignore. Were these gods in the sky described by ancient cultures extraterrestrials, and are they still attempting to communicate with us? Join us as Redbeard examines the Nazca lines. Yo, what's going on, everybody? This is Tony from the Red Beard Podcast, and I got my boy Cooley here. What's up, dude?
Hello.
Hey. So we are actually going to be talking about the Nazca lines today on this episode. Among other things, it's going to be kind of just a hodgepodge of topics that are all somewhat related to Nazca lines and kind of
I like that word.
Theory. Hodgepodge?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a good word, man.
It is. It's wholesome.
Yeah, it is. It just means like a bucket of stuff. So we're going to get right into it. I think this episode, we wanted to focus on not just obviously extraterrestrials and those theories, but things that could possibly be human made, and discuss why, if these things or the alien theory is plausible. Because some of these things, I will admit, seem a little far-fetched. And people don't necessarily always like to address that it's far-fetched. They just kind of jump to the theory that it's aliens. And that's the only answer. And I don't think that that's necessarily true for the Nazca lines. I think some other things related to aliens and extraterrestrials and what the Nazca lines possibly mean might have a tie-in with extraterrestrials. So we're going to discuss that. We're also going to get into crop circles. We're also going to talk about the Stonehenge briefly. And then there's another theory that I know you really want to get into, which is the elongated skull people.
Yes.
That was something that you specifically told me you wanted to address this episode.
Absolutely.
Dope. All right. So
those skull people are just, man, they make me think lots of things. That's all I got to say right now.
You think lots of things.
Lots of things. I'll get into it later.
There's a lot of subtext in that. All right. So the Nazca lines in Peru, very interesting. I think they're just basically a huge collection of giant geoglyphs. They range for miles, 250 miles. And they're not just lines as we describe them. They're also different shapes. So there's a spider. There's a hummingbird. There's something that looks like an eagle. There's also another one that they call El Astronauta because it actually looks like what could be an astronaut. It's kind of got like, it almost kind of looks like what we would envision an alien to look like today. It's got like the big round eyes, and it's just kind of got like the long arms and the long legs.
Yeah.
So a lot of people have questions about, why some of these Nazca lines are actually lines and why some of them are actually shapes. So like I said before, spider, hummingbird, cactus plant, monkey, whale, llama, duck, flower, tree, lizard, and dog.
Have you ever closed your eyes, just close your eyes and try to draw something on a piece of paper?
No.
All right. So that's a activity that they give you in like art school,
right?
Or like in art class in high school. It used to be like one of the first things they used to say, all right, close your eyes, class, and I want you to draw a picture of your mom, right? And like,
right,
it would just come out horrendous, right? But it would come out reasonable. Like you would see a shape and it would look like a person and whatnot. But I feel like the El Astronauta,
mm-hmm,
which is like weird because it's like got a masculine like article, but it's got a feminine ending to the name.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah. And I might be pronouncing it wrong, but that's how I've heard it.
But I guess what I'm saying is these people, the people that the Nazcan tribes,
right,
they created these things, these images, these figures, right? And they couldn't see what they were doing. So it's essentially the same thing as closing your eyes and trying to draw. So that El Astronauta, right?
Or the astronaut, yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But you know, we may look at that and say, oh, this is the representation of an alien.
Mm-hmm.
But it might be a really, really good attempt at trying to draw a person,
mm-hmm,
regular human being, without being able to see what you're doing.
Right.
Right? Like, so there's two ways of looking at that.
And you bring up an interesting point, too. And I think that's one of the main things, is that they couldn't really see what they were doing. And I think that's fascinating because these things, basically what they were doing is they were moving like almost like this. It's a like a stone almost. It was basically gravel, essentially. They're moving that out of the way. And it would actually, they would use almost like a nitrate, or it would reveal like nitrate, which is one of the reasons why these lines are still preserved today. Also, mm-hmm, because they're in the desert and the heat has kind of sealed them. But that's why they haven't decayed over, you know, long periods of time. Only up until recently, they found that some of these lines and some of these shapes are actually starting to get a little disturbed because there's more people going to see them and kind of getting close to them. And it's kind of starting to ruin them, slightly.
Mm.
But, to your point, drawing these lines as well as they did for most of these, different shapes, it's crazy because they couldn't see them from the sky, which I feel like is the way they were actually meant to be seen. Because when you're flying over them, you obviously see them as a whole. I mean, if you're standing down where the lines are, I mean, you can't really tell what they are. They just look like different curves and stuff's in the gravel, right?
Right.
But when you're flying above it, you can clearly see what this is supposed to be. So that's an interesting, you know, that's an interesting idea. Like, why are these things that look like they were only meant to be seen from the sky? Like, who were they drawn for? If you could only see them from the sky and they range for miles, what are they supposed to symbolize? Like, did they think that, you know, a lot of ancient cultures believe that, you know, especially in like the Festival of Dionysus, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people actually, it's known that festival was, they would, all these different artists would come together, specifically playwrights, and they would put on shows in ancient Greece. And those shows were actually presented to the gods in hopes that the gods would return with prosperity, agriculture, fertility. They were doing all these to get something from the gods. So they're doing the shows for the gods, right? To please them. So a lot of ancient cultures believe that they were doing things for the gods. So maybe they thought if they drew these lines and these symbols that the gods would see them and then return with some sort of good favor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if that's true or not, I don't know. But I feel like if you're doing something in this big of a scale and they're clearly seen from the sky, you know, as to what they really are, then who else would they be doing it for? You know, not saying it was aliens, right? But if they believed that the gods were seeing them,
yeah, that's what I think it was. I think it was just like a early religion, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, you know, like there was a theory, I guess, that the Nazcans had access to like hot air balloon technology.
Yeah, that was a theory, right?
Right. But like, I guess like scientists have been like, oh, we haven't found any evidence of that. And right. It's like, well, if you think about it, if there was a hot air balloon of any kind, what do you use to create the balloon part of it, right? Like, mm-hmm. And how would there be anything left over after, you know, thousands of years.
Yeah.
Like, because like most likely whatever it was going to be biodegradable.
Right.
Because they didn't have like canvas and rubber.
Right.
Or any kind of plastics or vinyl or anything like that was going to sit around for thousands of years. It was, and it wasn't made out of stone or wood, because that's not going to float.
Mm-hmm. And if it was like some type of a basket, I would assume it would be made out of kind of like wicker, which would decompose too.
Right.
You know, so it's like woven.
Right. So like whatever it is, whatever that is probably like, I mean, like it's not going to disappear over like, you know, a short amount of time, but we're talking thousands of years. That's going to
totally break down.
Yeah. So, I mean, like there's no evidence of it, but
there's a chance that there might not be.
There's no flipping evidence of a UFO either.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think one of the things that makes me think it could be possible that it was extraterrestrials is a lot of these cultures, if you go back in time and you look at different examples, and I'll explain that. But like, if you see something in the sky that has lights and fire and you don't know what it is, like back then, they don't know what any of that. Like if we see that today, we're like, oh, it's a plane.
Mm.
Oh, it's a jet, right?
Yeah.
Like that's where that fire is coming from. Like back then, like if it wasn't advanced, like extraterrestrials that came here and had that type of technology and it was fire and lights, they don't know what that is. So they're going to think that it's the gods, right? Mm. So they might have come down and done some visitation and they saw that and didn't know what it was and thought that, okay, well, it's a greater power. So let's whatever, like respond in some way. And so they drew these lines as a way to kind of show them like, hey, we see you, like we're responding, or they're trying to communicate with them in some way, right?
Right.
Who knows? I mean, that's a possibility.
Right, but everything was the gods. There was no...
That's like, what I mean, though.
Like, I mean, in the absence of science, it was just like, oh my God, the sun rose today. The gods are happy, you know, like...
Right.
Every time the sun rises, the gods are happy. Up, oh, it's going to rain today. Oh my God, what did I do? I angered the gods.
You know, and I'm not saying that's not true. I mean, it very well may be the case, right?
Right.
But like, I don't know. I wasn't there.
Like I'm going to sacrifice. I got to sacrifice my son now because it's going to rain.
It's going to rain.
come here, Tommy.
Sorry. So. Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's interesting though that, yeah, these things can only be seen from the sky. And the other thing that I think is very interesting is take away like all these different geoglyphs that are animals and people, like the mm-hmm. astronaut, take that out of the picture. There are miles of lines that are going in different directions to the point where they form like perfect triangles and all this stuff. And like when you're doing something on a ground level, to do it that direct and that, and those lines to be like as almost as perfect as they are and form these mm-hmm. different shapes, like that's a little nuts. And what they did is they've run tests over these lines, basically with, what's the word? Like basically tests for like the, like magnetism, right? And underneath all of these lines, if you go like 8 feet down, the Earth's magnetism gets extremely strong, right? Like they've literally measured it. Like where these lines are on those different spots is where the magnetism of the Earth is at its strongest, right? So that makes you wonder, like we talked about last episode how a lot of these cultures may have been a lot smarter than we are today.
Mm-hmm.
But and if that is the case, great. But it also makes me think, like, if they weren't as smart as we are today, how would you find out where the Earth's magnetism is?
Yeah, right? I don't think. Let me correct that, because I don't know if that's the impression that I gave, but I don't think they were smarter than we are today. I just think that we don't use the intelligence that we have today like they had to back then.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to rely on their own intelligence back then.
Right.
And you know I mean, they didn't have calculators even. Like, I mean, calculators. Like, they didn't have that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Maybe the closest they came to it was maybe an abacus, you know, but there was no, there were no cell phones. There were no, you know, Google Maps. You know what I mean? Like they had to know where things were, you know what I mean? Everything was, you had to know stuff. You couldn't just rely on looking stuff up. Like, I mean, I'm not saying that you should do this, but you could probably perform brain surgery by watching a YouTube video nowadays. Like everything, we rely so much on the internet and we rely so much on the technology that we have that we're not innovating anymore. We're just using what's in front of us, right. You know, and the only people that are innovating are the people that build the things that we rely on.
Right, right.
Right. So for us to look back and we see that, we're like, oh my God, how did they do that? Must have been aliens, must have been Jesus or whatever. Like it's like it could very well could be, sure. But I mean the most likely situation is these are people that just use their brains to do stuff. Like
right.
It to me it's not far fetched. Like we are super intelligent, and we didn't grow into or evolve into intelligent beings. We were intelligent beings from the beginning. And we just kept innovating over time, and we innovated so much that we ended up where we are, and we evolved like physically to adapt into the world that we're in today. So
the only issue that I have with, and I'm saying that theory is wrong. The only question, or the reason why I question it, is because when you say like, oh, they had to rely on their intelligence, like, yeah, that's great. I mean, like, I'm going to go out into the woods and not have any of my technology. Let's say I get stranded. I have to use my brain to find a way to keep warm and create fire and create shelter and stuff like that, right? But like for me to figure out like where the direct lines of like the Earth's magnetism are, like I don't have any idea how to begin to do something like that.
No. Nor do you have any idea where to begin to start a fire. Like, I mean, you have an idea because like, you know, rubbed a couple of sticks together, but yo, I've tried that and it's not easy.
Bro. No, I know it's not. You know what but I mean?
It's not simple. But, get some flint. Okay, go find flint, right? Like people used to do this stuff back then because they knew where to find things. They knew where things were. It was like second nature.
Yeah, but
where we have to figure that out.
But the Earth's magnetism, like rubbing two sticks together and creating fire, like is one thing because like you can feel when it's getting like hot and when you can see when something starts to catch fire. Mm-hmm. But like, dude, finding out where the Earth's magnetism is. Like you can't feel a magnetic field. Like that's what I don't understand. Like does it align perfectly with something in the sky? Like it, not they these lines don't. So that makes me think. Like, did they have like some other like advanced technology that we don't have anymore? Were they helped in some way to figure out where the Earth magnetism are?
Probably metal.
Well, one of the things that we talked about last episode in the pyramids that I forgot to mention is that. The pyramids, if you actually look at them, I talked about like the equator, but like they basically, there are magnetic fields in the Earth that go right through where all the pyramids are. Every pyramid that we found on the Earth is right on top of a line that has a high level of magnetism and a high level of energy. So one of the things that I think these ancient civilizations were good at and knew how to do, and it might have been with the help of extraterrestrials that told them, right? And then kind of left and like, you got some knowledge, use it, right? Is they figured out a way to harness the Earth's natural energy, right? And use that to do whatever they needed to do. Where now we rely on like combustion and fire and gasoline and the Earth's resources and oil to actually create all of our power. Once that runs out, it's done. And that's what we're doing to the Earth right now, where I feel like if we found a way to use the Earth's natural energy and rely on that and keep it like a well-oiled engine and just, it you know, the sun hits it and that creates energy. You know, all of these things that allowed the Earth to kind of flourish on its own before we were even here was working. And we don't know how to harness that, but I feel like these people did. So for me to think that they figured this out on their own, it's very hard for me to wrap my head around it. It just is. And so that's why I say, or I believe that there's a possibility that they actually, that extraterrestrials, for whatever reason, came down and helped us figure out exactly, you know, our relationship to the stars and the Earth magnetism and helped us get going. Because, I mean, if they're more advanced than us, then obviously they're kind of like throwing us a bone. You know, like that's kind of what I tend to believe in the possibility of. But that's just my opinion.
Well, here's the only thing I have to say about that is if that was the case, if they were using that and making some kind of energy source and all that stuff, and it was like it was working, and it was like they were killing it, man. They had like this like ridiculous society, and like they were flourishing, and all of a sudden now it's gone. How is that, man? Like how did we start? Like if you look at just take fire, mm-hmm. fire the wheel, right? And then look at how all of that evolved, like innovation on top of innovation on top of innovation, using just those two things mm-hmm. that we learned how to do, right? And that didn't disappear from life. Like we know how to make fire, we know how to use a wheel, and we know how to use them both very well.
Yeah.
Right. And everything that's mechanical uses fire in the wheel in some way, shape, or form. And now it's starting to turn into electricity in the wheel. But the wheel is still a major part of it, whether it's a cog or an actual wheel that's used for transportation or whatever. But that's how we make things move, man. And for me to think that we had this like amazing energy source, and then all of a sudden, like the ancient Egyptians like faded away, and this thing faded away, and now all of a sudden nobody knows how to do this anymore, and they didn't get passed down from generation to get to generation and built on, mm-hmm. you know, from year to year, like, hey, this is the next step in technology. This is the next step in technology. Computers change every 6 months, man. I just don't get how that went away, and now the most brilliant minds on earth can't figure out how to use the world's natural resources mm-hmm. as energy.
So
I mean, not the world's natural resources, but this type of energy, like cold fusion and all these things that people have been trying to crack for forever.
So now I'm really going to put on my friggin' tin hat and go conspiracy theory on you for a second, right? Like, I honestly think that I've read a lot of things, and like I've done like a lot of research on this, and there's too many people that have come forward and said like, oh, I worked on like dark government projects, right? I feel like there's a lot of stuff that we know how to do, but they don't let on that they know how to do it. Because if you were to actually say, oh yeah, we can use the Earth's magnetism to and have free energy, then the stock market crumbles overnight, right? Like people, the economy would crash. Because if you can harness your own energy and you don't need oil and you don't need electricity anymore to do this, and you can rely on the Earth's natural energy to run things, then people are going to lose money in this billion-dollar industries that the government doesn't want that to actually happen. I think that's a possibility. Do we know how to do these things if we don't talk about it? And two, you're right. There are. It does seem super strange that all of a sudden these civilizations just like faded away. And I've watched documentaries where they say that around this same time that like these two different civilizations like literally disappeared, and they don't understand how it happened, where they went. They think it was possibly like a major earthquake, or it was a major flood. Like there was an earthquake that caused the tidal wave that came in and like took out everybody, because it seemed like everything just stopped at the same time. Right. That's a possible theory, but they haven't really been able to prove that, but they do think it's weird that they just kind of ceased to exist around the same time. The only reason why the pyramid in Egypt, the Great Pyramid, doesn't harness energy the way that it did was because it was built with a granite, and the outside of that was actually coated in a special type of rock, which actually sealed in all that energy. If you look at the very top of the pyramid, you can see how only the top portion of it exists and the rest of it is just kind of falling off. Mm-hmm. They don't know how to rebuild it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they haven't figured out how to rebuild that and reseal it. So maybe that's one of the reasons why they can't necessarily harness that energy, and they haven't really gone to the extent to actually try to renovate it either, you know? But they've found magnetism, but they just don't understand it completely.
But then if you also, possibly. If you subscribe to that belief that it was some kind of, like, natural disaster, like an earthquake or something like that just wiped out these different pocket civilizations all at the same time that were using this planet to create this energy. Maybe they were barking up the wrong tree. Maybe they were doing something that the world didn't agree with. Maybe they were, I mean,
possible
like,
too.
You know, hey, we're doing all this energy. This is great. We're doing this thing. And Earth was just like, nope. And killed them all.
It has like a negative effect. Yeah.
I mean, and then like, maybe we don't need that because like, that's just going to bring us closer to destruction than we are already. And that's weird because I think we're on the path to destruction. Like, super fast, like
polar ice caps are melting.
We've accelerated the death of the Earth like a millionfold. And you know, sorry, that's just the way it is. We're not going to see it, but I mean, it's not going to be too many generations after us that, you know,
unless we change things and we actually start doing like, you know, electric cars everywhere and change that fast.
But I mean, who knows? Like, if we kept. If that is the case and they were using it and they were creating this energy and they were able to keep it going, who knows? Maybe we would have blew up the Earth a long time ago.
Yeah.
Right?
But this is one, you know, this raises a lot of questions, you know, when you talk about, you know, these lines in Nazca, you know, like how are we supposed to understand what those things meant? If we can't even really explain like necessarily how they were made or why they were made, you know, all we know is below these lines, there's, you know, a magnetism we don't understand. We know that one of the main geoglyphs, the spider, actually lines up with like the constellations
of Orion.
Of Orion. So that's
Sirius.
Another, yeah. You know, I mean, like, that's another thing. Like, what are they trying to tell us? Like, who knows? You know, it's fun to talk about and it's interesting to talk about because we don't necessarily have all the answers. We're still trying to figure it out, you know? So I think these theories are interesting.
But it doesn't really line up. Like, you say it does, but I mean, like, everything that I saw was like, if you take the spider and then you like make a mirror image of the spider and flip it, the other side would point to and line up perfectly with that. And it's like, well, that's not what we're doing. Like, you have it facing the other way and it's doing that. Mm-hmm. Like, so it's there, but it's not actually exact and perfect.
They're trying to figure out any possible way to you know, like, some of these theories.
Well,
my theory is
that the aliens see backwards. So they did it that way so that the aliens would know what we were trying to say.
Is it possible? Ancient astronaut theorists say yes. But that brings me to another very similar topic, which are crop circles. Crop circles obviously are not Nazca lines. They're not, you know, you're not using gravel to kind of make these things. They don't take as long. And crop circles are things that we are seeing now. It's not things that like we see in like fields that were created years ago. They literally are happening like right now.
Oh yeah, and they went from using like pencils to using ink. You know what I mean? Like they.
Well, they use it. They're using fields basically.
Yeah, it's like night and day, man. It's like they got an actual artist to do stuff,
right?
Instead of like a 5-year-old.
Well, the difference is that
I think they use stencils, man.
Possibly. I think some big stencils. I think that if you compare Nazca lines to crop circles, Nazca lines we know were most likely created by a civilization at some point, right? Crop circles, we don't know how they're being created. That's the thing, is that normally with crop circles, they say that most of the time they're done like overnight, they happen right in like a field and all of a sudden they will just appear and they are way too perfect to be done in that span of time or way too massive to be done in that span of time to be done that perfect. Like there's no debris, like nobody heard like any lawnmowers or anything like that. People also have stated that when crop circles happen, they actually see lights in the sky and then the next morning crop circles are there and they happened overnight, right? some of these things are way too perfect and done and have been created way too quickly for me to have any kind of a logical explanation that it to be something else that we don't understand, right? I mean, either they're using some kind of field of energy to create these patterns. And Eric Von Daniken, who's on Ancient Aliens, said something that I thought was very interesting. He said, I think that extraterrestrials are trying to communicate with us, but we're too stupid to figure it out. And I honestly, I agree to some point. Like, if you throw down a star map to try to give us a hint, but we don't know that's a map and we don't know how to reference it to anything, then we're just going to look at this and be like, yeah, that's cool, but I don't get it. You know, that's like if somebody shows like a ton of coding to me and they're a coder. Yeah, dude, I'm sure that it means something, but I don't understand any of it. You know, so it's like, I think it's all relative. Like, they are giving us things that are trying to help us out if it is extraterrestrials, and we just can't get it, or we don't understand what it means. So it ends up being like, yeah, cool design, man. I got nothing else beyond that, you know? And my only question there is, it's like, if they are more advanced than us and they've been watching us for all these years, and apparently, like, you know, there's other theories that, oh, they created us and that's really reaching, like, they should probably know the extent of our level of intelligence and like if we're going to be able to get it or not. Or maybe they're just trying to make us figure it out, you know what I mean? Like, who knows? I mean, I don't know, but I mean, like, I just feel like crop circles created way too quickly, way too perfect. And there's no evidence of anything left behind after that. Like, you know what I mean? That's my only beef there. Well, those are the questions I have. You said something the other day where you were like, oh, so they definitely happen overnight? Like, it couldn't have been, yeah, like 3 months? I mean, that was a good theory. I mean,
but you don't know. Like, I mean, like, we know what's reported. Like,
right.
Jim Bob just came over here and told me that these things just showed up overnight.
Yeah.
Shoot, I never seen it. Right?
I like how it's automatically a hillbilly.
It's all I can picture, man, when I think about this stuff.
Yeah, well, but that's because they usually ask those people to talk about it. Dude, it gives it... Every time I see one of those people actually in an interview, I'm like, cool, just give this subject less credibility. You know what I mean? Come on, man. Can you get like an intelligent, well-versed person?
Hey, Cooter, you ever see a... Cooter. You ever see anything like this over here? No, I never saw anything like that, Bobby.
Oh, no, one there last night. I mean, yeah, it's kind of, it's a very interesting theory. But I also feel like there are people out there that aren't just there to, like, make a buck. And I feel like these people aren't necessarily.
Well, no, I don't think it's to make a buck either. I think it's, all right, look, man, like, serial killers, you think they do it to make a buck?
Well, that's a whole different thing.
No, they do it because they want to get on the news and they want to hear their name and they want to hear blah, blah, blah. And like, they're not making money off that. You know what I mean? They're telling their story through evil means.
Yeah, but some serial killers are just doing it because they're nuts. I mean,
obviously. Obviously, they're nuts.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about the one, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
The Zodiac killer and like people that get their things in the paper and they're just like, yeah, now I'm addicted to seeing my name in lights.
Right, right.
It's the same thing with these folks that I think, like, they're like, all right, I want people to believe in aliens, and I want people to believe in me.
Right.
And I want people to sit, I want to discover this, right? Let's make some crop circles.
All right, cool.
Let's.
All right, cool. I'll subscribe to that for a second. But you explain to me how you think crop circles could possibly be made. I don't know. I'm not saying I know. I'm just asking, how do you think they make them?
Look, man.
See what I'm saying, though? Like,
they make them with whatever they like. They have like these giant freaking tractors that they can like ride through with, like, you know, these giant blades on them and stuff like that. I don't even know what they're called. Like, they're farmers. The farm equipment. Right. They have farm equipment, bro.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Like, I mean, like, they have riding track, not even, I wouldn't even call them riding mowers. They're tractors
right.
that they use to mow down stuff, man. Like, that's, How do they do it? They use that.
But what about the ones that are created overnight? Overnight that are huge, man.
That we know of overnight. Like, how many do we know for a fact were done overnight? Like,
they have, no, they actually have proven that these were done overnight because they have satellite photos that are, like, timed. Where, like, the night before, it wasn't there. And then the next day, it's there in the morning, dude.
Let me ask you this.
Huge.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Wow, you just made me.
So why can't the satellite see what did it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, did they say, okay, let's, all right, so we're going to send this up there and it's going to take a picture once every 24 hours so that we can see what's going on. If something happens, we're going to catch it, because once every 24 hours, nothing happens in between those hours. It's 9
yep.
to 9 the next day.
You know what's funny though? See, here's the problem. Here's the problem, right? It's kind of like,
Why?
No. This is. I agree with you, right?
Yeah.
But here's my problem, is that everybody asks for evidence, and then when somebody presents some evidence, everybody like just shoots it down. Like, there's a video on YouTube, right? And you know, it's a video on YouTube, so it's got to be bullshit. You know, like, you know, people are gonna say, like, you know, oh, it's a YouTube video, so it's fake or it's doctored. So, all right, so any form of evidence that we're ever going to have is going to be discredited because it's a YouTube video. But wait,
you just have to have more to it than just a YouTube video is all I'm saying.
Yeah, but I mean, like, what else? Dude, so this was the video, right? Like, this dude literally in the middle of the night that worked on a farm, right? Like heard something, and he literally, they held up a camera for like a 15-minute video, and there were lights in the sky, right? And he was like, they were like, oh, what is that? And then the next day, where those lights were seen, there were massive crop circles on their farm. So they were like, these were not here last night. These are the lights I saw in the middle of the night. And then all of a sudden, I have these crop circles on my farm. He posts this video up, and everybody says that it's BS. So it's like, you know, people look for like the evidence, but then when you give it to them, they call it out and say it's BS. So it's like, even if you have evidence, then, and people don't believe it, then what are you going to do with it? Like, it's like everybody says, oh, like, and I'm convinced of this, if God is real, right? They say, oh, like, Jesus is going to come back one day. Jesus comes back, dude, he's going to get fucking killed. Excuse me. He's going to get killed because people are going to think that he's nuts. People are going to think there's something wrong with him.
Son.
He's going to get killed.
Son.
Just saying, dude.
He got killed the first time
he
came.
I'm saying that.
You know
what
I mean?
That's what I'm saying.
He got killed the first time.
But that's what
it's
I mean. People
change.
Are crazy, man.
Listen,
people are vicious. They don't want to believe that stuff, and they're scared. They're scared,
the
so they discredit it.
Here's the reality, though, right?
I apologize for swearing. So
here's the reality, though, right? And I haven't even sworn yet.
I know, man.
Listen.
I feel it coming.
Nope. I'm a refrain. Listen. Bigfoot.
Oh, God, we already talked about this, man.
People don't want to believe in anything anymore because Bigfoot was a proven hoax. That video footage.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was back then.
Right, right.
If we could get that back then.
Yeah.
Which is literally just a dude in a costume walking through the forest and somebody got a shaky cam of it, which was bloody brilliant. But if they could get that then and make everybody believe that Bigfoot exists and like get everybody on this like high horse and going out there and looking for Bigfoot, then everything that comes out and shows up on YouTube, if there's not anything else to corroborate it, is gonna be looked at with high skepticism unless you're a believer. So you have this footage, like what would be reasonable to me is if there was at least one other person from a completely different angle that was like, I saw these lights and I got this footage of it. And then he saw the lights and he got the footage of it. And it's the same sighting. I don't recall anybody showing video footage from different angles or whatever. And we live in an age of cell phones, man. Like, you can't tell me that people see things and then they don't take out their cell phone to get a video of it.
That actually was, man. Remember, it was... I think it was like 2 years ago. There was that
thing
in LA
that went up.
Yeah, and everybody got footage of it. Yeah. You know, I mean, from different angles. There's but also
it looked like a missile almost.
But there's also, there's recorded, I think it was in Utah, and I can show you the footage later, or the pictures. There was a mass sighting. It's one of the most famous
sightings. Arizona.
Arizona. That's one thing that everybody saw.
Yeah, my uncle actually saw that. Not saw it, but knows about it and was going to talk about it with me, but...
But see what I mean? That's one example of, like, everybody saw it.
Everybody saw it, but was there video footage from everybody? Different angles, like yeah, but hey, I mean, I'm over here. Let me get a picture of it. I'm over here. Let me get a picture of it. Let me take a video.
There were a lot of different pictures that people got from different angles. I mean, it wasn't video. I mean, it was a little bit back then still, where like it was hard to film stuff on the spot. But it was still a lot of pictures from different angles.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Those are the things that I want to see, like, because then that kind of proves that it's not like a movie set,
right?
And
right.
It's not just like something that somebody created on their computer and got like, you know, like this like, you know, awesome CGI that they threw together and
I mean, this doesn't look like CGI. I mean, it looks like a video that somebody filmed at night with a cell phone, because that's all they had, you know. I mean,
bro, but Thanos didn't look like CGI.
Yeah, well, he did, but I think with his Josh Brolin chin, I think that, you know, in a situation like that where crop circles, I mean, like, dude, these farms are like deserted sometimes. They're out in the middle of nowhere and they're miles from another person that might not see it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It was in the middle of the night. He heard it. Maybe people that were around Miles didn't wake up to see it. You know what I mean? Who knows? But crop circles, man, are crazy to me. There are also things that, you know, we can really only see them from the sky. And people have actually, scientists have done, taken pictures of them, and they actually are like geometrically perfect, you know? And some of them are actually like maps that they say kind of like symbolize, like they line up really well with constellations. Who knows? I don't know what that means.
I don't know. It feels like a crock to me. Like that lines up with the stars. Okay, cool.
You know, yeah, but like, but that's why, man, because it's like we could say this until we're blue in the face, but we don't know what it means.
Who's drawing the line from here to space to tell me that it lines up perfectly?
Well, they can. I don't know how they do that, but they can definitely tell.
Shot a laser, and I hit the star. I know it's right.
Well, dude, that's how they can tell how many light years is with mathematics. It's beyond me, dude. I'm not good at math. But another, the two other things we want to get to, definitely Stonehenge. I just want to touch upon.
Oh, wait, though.
What's up?
They say that you can see them from space. Is that true? I didn't look up any pictures. Can you
see? The Nazca lines, they say there was one of the guys that I remember seeing on Ancient Aliens said that he was an astronaut for 5 years and he has been able to see them from space. I haven't seen the photos. I haven't gone to look for them.
No, but I mean, if I'm in space, like any pictures from space of the Earth, it doesn't look like you can see much.
Yeah. Let's see.
Maybe you can see them from high up in the atmosphere, or maybe like low level space, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I mean, let's see. I mean, right here. Yeah. I mean, well, like satellite wise, I mean, like these are, you can definitely see, like, I mean, that's a little bit closer, but these are, yeah, like from space, like up here, you can see like the Nazca lines and like jets and so forth. Mm.
It's like space graffiti.
It's like space graffiti. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I mean, I don't know. And I think, you know, the other thing too is if these ancient civilizations that created these things, I give them props, man, because they're actually drawn really well. And if they're that big from the sky when you're on the ground, they must have taken a long time to do that out in the desert, in the sun, in the heat. Like, props. Like, that's dedication.
Slaves, you know what
I mean? Bro. Yeah, very possible. Well, that's from space right there, and you can kind of see how that bird kind of points out.
Mm-hmm.
Or lines up with something. So, I mean, I don't know. It's super interesting, man.
I'll give you that. It is interesting.
Yeah.
And I remember when I was a kid, I believed that was, like, aliens and stuff.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Stonehenge quick.
Yeah, man.
Because I did want to get to that briefly. I want to have an episode specifically on that. But Stonehenge, Something that I've always found super interesting. My mother actually went to Stonehenge when she was in England. And she said that it's not as crazy as you would think it is when you're actually there, but it's still cool to see. Mm. They don't let you actually go up to Stonehenge and like walk around like you used to. You could actually like go up and actually touch the rocks, and you can't do that anymore. They like sectioned it off.
Why?
Because people constantly touching it over and over again, like the millions of tourists that come every year, can actually cause it to break down quicker. So they're trying to preserve it, and they don't want anybody to like chip off a piece of the rock and take it home and do something stupid like that, because people do that. This is an actual piece of Stonehenge. Because people are jerks. But they have Stonehenge is interesting because
that there goes my bucket list.
What, to actually go there and see it?
I wanted to stand in the middle and throw my hands up in the air and say, "Ancient spirits of evil, transform this decayed form into Mumra, the ever living."
What is that? What is that? Is that from something?
From Thundercats.
All right, cool, man. I was like, you're prepared. Like you had something ready to say. All right, man.
That's one of my bucket list items, man. I want to.
Oh, that's funny, dude. I
wanted to see if it would work.
Well, Stonehenge is one of those famous locations where they still don't understand how the stones were actually brought there and how they got there, just because of their size alone. And I think these are all related, you know, like Nazca lines, like crop circles, the Stonehenge, like these are all famous, like art, like famous locations, right? And famous things that happen, and we still don't really understand like their meaning or like how they became to be what they are or how they were built.
Right.
They've tried to recreate Stonehenge by dragging rocks literally like across like mountains to get them there.
Mm-hmm.
They have had like no success, because at one point you have to go over like rivers to get them from where the rocks were apparently came from.
Oh, I'm so dumb, man. I forgot.
What?
So Stonehenge, right? I'm thinking Easter Island. I'm thinking those faces that.
Oh, Easter Island. Yeah. With the huge heads. Yeah.
The huge heads. Is that also one of these things, or
Easter Island? Yeah.
Like they think that's aliens or whatever.
I think it's possible. They don't know. But there's also like perfectly designed. The thing with Stonehenge.
So yeah, my bucket list is back open, man. Like they didn't stop people from doing that. Probably. Hopefully not.
Yeah, I think you can still do that. So you should be good. I think here's a really crazy theory that I heard. There's this weird theory out there, and I'm going to really sound like a crazy person right now. And it is a crazy theory that I don't believe.
Okay.
But I heard it and I thought it was crazy. They have a theory that back in the day, remember Merlin?
Yeah.
Like the wizard Merlin. Say that like it's a possibility that he might have been some sort of like, had powers, and he might have actually been like, they say there's a possibility he could have been extraterrestrial and like no one knew. He was just like a wizard, and that's how he had these powers. And he was able to make the stones levitate and literally just kind of like push them out in England to where they are right now. And that's how the stones got there, because people have tried to move them.
Isn't that the plot from the beginning of like Transformers Age of Extinction or whatever? Like not Age of Extinction, what was it, The Last Knight?
I don't know.
Like, and then he does all that, and then he rides on a Transformer dragon or something,
maybe. I don't remember that. But yeah, so that theory was like, oh, that Merlin was an extraterrestrial and like actually was able to levitate the stones and push them for miles, I thought was a little ridiculous. That's something I definitely think is BS, but whatever. I mean, like, Those are when they come out with theories like that, I'm like, all right, you're reaching. But they also have
why is that a reach?
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Why is that a reach, but like the other alien stuff is not a reach?
I don't know. I just, whatever.
Like,
I'm just saying, dude. Like, Because it could be plausible, in my opinion. I don't think that, like...
Mork and Mindy could be plausible.
Yeah.
Nanu.
It totally could be, man. But these are real things that we still don't understand. These stones weigh tons. Tons. And to say that we just move them by hand or drag them, I just don't believe that.
No, I don't believe that either.
Then how the hell do you think they got there?
It was a whirlwind.
No, for real, though. Like, dude, if they didn't drag them, like, how the hell did they get there?
No, they absolutely dragged them.
You say that, man, but, like, no, they did. Like mountains and over, like, rivers and, like, nah, man. Like, that's yes. not... All right, well, how do you... All right, explain that. Give me a theory that is somewhat plausible. Like, I mean logically, not let's, some Transformer crap.
I'm let's saying, be real.
No, for real.
I'm going to be real
no,
right
no,
now.
No. Let me ask my question first. Go ahead. How do you get a stone that weighs, that is that big, that weighs tons, to get across a river? How?
How about...
Without it sinking.
How about, let's fast forward to today.
No.
And ask me the same question, and my answer would be, I have no idea, bro. Like, people do it and it's above my pay grade. I have zero idea. But people did it back then. I'm sure. I'm sure that it was doable. I'm sure that with listen.
Yo, then why can't we figure this out, man? That's what's frustrating. How stupid are we that if we can figure out how to get a stone across a river?
Where there's a will, there's a way.
That's the worst thing you can say right now, because all these people have mad will and they can't figure it out. Like these people aren't just like trying to figure it out on their lunch break. They've dedicated their lives. If that isn't will, I don't know what is, bro. And they just like, yo, I just spent 60 years trying to figure this out. I'm done because I got nothing. Like, I'm just saying.
How heavy are those?
Tons. I don't know. I don't know exactly how heavy, but tons, bro. Like, I'm just saying.
I'm willing to bet there were, like, animals and stuff back then that they could, like, hitch them to.
Yeah, over a river. Like, over a river. It didn't pull the animal, like, into the river.
Like right, a woolly man. Mammoth, bro?
All right, bro. No, I'm not even going there.
Like a long neck?
Yeah,
no, humans didn't.
Oh, giraffes.
Humans didn't live with dinosaurs. So.
Yo, but you also have to think about these animals were not in the same area, bro. They haven't found, like, if that was a plausible theory, they would have found fossils of these animals, and they haven't. They're in different areas of the world, man.
What if they dragged all the stones over there and then the people that made them do it were like, all right, you're free.
Yep. So
smack them in the butt and go, you go on now, get out of here. Then the woolly mammoth would look at them all sad and they'd be like, stop looking at me like that, man. Just go. And then they'd throw rocks at him and then he'd turn around and they'd run off. And then that's where they die, wherever they ended up. Yeah, and then that's where the fossils are. But who knows where that is?
Totally possible. I think... it's interesting that Stonehenge, when the sun actually sets, that does actually point lines in certain directions. Mm. It's another thing, man. Who knows? Maybe it's a massive sundial. You know, like half of it's actually like some of the stones are falling over. They're not where they used to be just because of the years of it being where it is.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been a huge sundial, you know, to basically some sort of a calendar, you know what I mean, to actually... You know, time of year, time of day, you know, all that stuff. I think that's.
Yo, what if?
I'm not saying that. I think Stonehenge definitely that's the most closest thing. Here's I could a theory expect for it you. To be, but how it got there is the question.
Here's a theory for you. What if we were just a hopping alien nightclub and humans started infesting the earth and they were like, we were like roaches and we just like made it so that nobody even wanted to come here because it was just disgusting.
Yeah, maybe.
And they were like, these humans we're going to get human eggs and we're going to bring them back to our houses and they're just going to infest. We need to get out of here. This is gross. You guys are dirty.
Maybe. Yeah.
or we were like rats. They were like, we're calling the Board of Health.
All right.
The Board of Galactic Health.
All right, bro.
Shut them down.
So I'm just saying, though, like, it's possible.
And now they're gone, but now we have all these things that were left behind. Like, some of those things actually say, like, for a good time, call.
Stupid, bro. Stupid. So dumb. All right. Enough of that. Let's get back to base here, because that's going dumb. But that's what they're saying, man. Like, they say that the way from where Stonehenge is and what they believe it used to look like, depending on where the sun sets and stuff like that, there's the summer solstice, the winter solstice. So it definitely told time in some degree. But it also is one of those things that, again, lines up with constellations. So that's very interesting. You know, all these different connections. Do I know what they mean? No. Are they interesting to talk about? Yeah. Like I said, I think the most interesting thing to me is not what Stonehenge represents, but how it was built. I don't understand it. I don't understand how you would move that stuff. But hey, you know, there's also that other weird theory about the Nazca lines, that those lines, the long, long ones, right, that actually look like, they say it looks like a runway. Mm. Like, it could have been a runway for, like, ships to land, right?
Yeah, but they also said that it wouldn't support anything.
Anything that we know, right? Like a lot of the crafts that people have supposedly captured, and, like, people that have actually gone and touched crafts but then have flown away, like, for whatever reason have gotten that close, say that it almost feels like it's weightless. So it could be a different type of metal that we don't know about. It might not support man-made things like jets and things like that, but these crafts might weigh less. I think that it's possible that they could have been a runway. Who knows? The other thing I thought was interesting, and it's also far-fetched, is that if something did come down and help these civilizations create these Nazca lines, I think it was Giorgio Tuculos who said it, and everybody thinks he's crazy because of his hair, but it made kind of sense, right? He's like, if it's an advanced civilization that comes down, right, and makes these Nazca lines, and they use different types of, like, advanced machinery to do it, he's like, they probably have an inventory of what they're using. So when they're done, they pack up their stuff and leave with it. So we're probably like, oh, well, how did they do this back then? They didn't have the technology. Well, maybe it was made with technology we haven't seen before, and then they took off with it. You know, impossible, right? Like, who knows?
I mean, like,
it seems like science fiction, bro. And you want to know why it sounds like science fiction? Because we can't imagine that's actually real, dude. Like, we can't. There's no way that's real. But what if it is?
Think about this, though, man. Think about this. And I want to, man.
No, pose the question.
Think about this. Think about, why is it that aliens, these beings from other worlds that do these amazing things and have this amazing technology and all that, and they come here and chill with us. Like, think about why is it that they behave, like, so they look different, but why do they behave like we would imagine them to behave? All right. Like, just consider that. Consider, like, so they fly spaceships like we fly planes. They need landing strips. They're going to land on the landing strip. They're going to dock. They're going to do this. They have jet engines. They have lights, and they come down and they want to communicate with us, and they're drawing hearts and stuff in these crop circles. And why do they behave like we would expect them to behave? Like, what I expect of an alien is to be something that I could never even conceptualize, right? So like these crafts that they build, like, everybody's got, like, this, like, oh, it's a flying disc, or it's like a ball, or it's something. Like, why would they conceptualize things the way that we do? Like, if they were so advanced and they were so far beyond us, you know what I mean? Like, that, like, why would they behave the way that we behave in certain way, like, on a base level, not necessarily, like, on their evolved, like, you know, like, I'm better than you.
Well, I subscribe to the theory that we as humans are, like, volatile. I think we're violent, right? I think that and true or false, the first thing we would do if we ever came in contact with an alien, right, is try to harness their technology and try to weaponize it. That's the first thing we would do, because that's what the military wants. We need to figure out how their technology works and then use it as a weapon, because that's how violent we are as a species, right? Mm. And I think that they're just like, yo, you ain't ready, right? And we don't want to necessarily come down there because they get a chance of possibly getting hurt because we're freaking crazy.
Right, but again, like the concept that you have and the concept that people have of aliens humanizes the aliens and makes you think that they think the way that we think, except for like they're on this higher level. Like it's basically an idealization, and it's almost turning them into gods. Like, so like they have these, like, so in other words, they have this moral fiber that they're trying to like make, they're trying to raise us up and like, oh, we don't want them to destroy each other. So you have to do this, this, and this to be able to get to this point where we can give you the technology that you think we have. Like, but in order for them to do that, they have to be able to formulate that thought in the same thought process that we're,
yeah, thinking. I know what you mean.
You know what I mean? So it's like we're projecting ourselves onto them. And it's like, I just don't get that. Like,
sometimes I think that's just the only way we can rationalize it. Like, why wouldn't they come here? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the other thing I don't get is, it's like, oh, if they do come here, why don't they meet with like normal people instead of like, it's always got to be like government officials and stupid crap like that. Like, if they're working with the government, like, why are they working on it? Like, that's the other thing. Oh, like, aliens have been working with us for years. Like, really, dude? Like, why do they have to be underground in bunkers? Like, they can't, like, they can't just like come out and like be like, yo, we're here, what's up?
Right.
Like, that's the only thing that makes me think some of this stuff is BS.
Right.
But I...
That's what I'm saying.
But I believe... But I do believe that...
Thousands of years and only a select few have seen this stuff? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I know it sounds crazy, man. Like I said, I don't have all the answers, and there's so many different theories out there. I mean, I don't pretend to be an expert on this stuff. I mean, I definitely, like, super interested in it, and I have my own beliefs and my own theories, but... I don't know,
man. The best representation of what I believe aliens would be like would be that movie Arrival.
Arrival? Oh,
with Amy Adams.
Yeah, that was good, yeah.
Like, that's the best representation of what aliens would be like if they came here. Like, you would just have no clue. You would just be like, what the hell is this? And then you get in, and then you're like looking at these things, and they're like, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and I don't even think that we'd be able to like decode, or like there'd be anybody that'd be like on the planet like Amy Adams who could decode what they were trying to say.
Well, she was a language specialist. But I think there are people out there that are that smart that would be able to figure out patterns.
Not that quickly though. Like, not, well, I mean, like, it was a movie,
but yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah.
But yeah, like, I mean, I feel like that would be what we would get. And I don't think it would be like what we expect it to be like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like people walking on, like, alien people walking on two legs.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, it's
with their ET heads, you know, and long ass necks.
Dude, I like ET, man. I don't know why people are afraid of him. I thought he's awesome.
I liked ET.
Yeah. But a lot of people are afraid of ET. I don't get it, but whatever.
The Reese's Pieces.
You know? Yeah, man. Phone home. But last thing we want to talk about is elongated skull people. Yo, just go run with this, bro. Because this was something you were like, oh, we got to talk about this.
Yeah, I mean, like, that. I don't know, man.
He doesn't even know where to start.
Like, they dismissed so easily in this documentary. Well, what is it? Ancient Aliens, that thing.
Oh, yeah, Ancient Aliens.
They dismissed so easily the idea that they bound the heads. They're like, oh yeah, people think that they bound it, they bound their head, the baby's heads, and they grew that way, but there's no evidence. And I'm just like, yo, if they bound their heads, they probably did it with something that was biodegradable. Same thing with the damn balloons.
Well, the thing is that that's not something they dismissed it. They dismissed that theory in this episode very quickly. But there have been other episodes where they go a little bit more into this, and they do admit that if it was done how it was done, and it's basically like, yeah, you see a lot of it in like old like Egyptian kind of like drawings and like hieroglyphics, where people were wearing like wraps around their heads, and their heads look longer,
yeah.
And that's one of the things they believed is that from a young age. and like even like a baby's skull, like when a baby is born, the skull is very soft, which is why if it comes out and it's misshapen, they can actually put like a helmet on it to shape it, right?
Right.
So they believe that it's a possibility that they actually used like wraps and things like that to elongate the shape of the skull.
Right.
And it was now, very possible.
What I'd like to know is if you did that, does that actually change how your brain forms?
Well, that was the question I had, because the way that our brain is shaped right now, it fits perfectly with the shape of your head, right?
Yeah.
So would that change the shape of the brain, and how would that actually affect the way that you function?
Right.
Right. So they also say that some of these skulls, though, in comparison to ours, were the size difference was massive. Like they were actually, if you were to take a elongated skull and put it next to like a human skull now, it would be considered to be like a giant. Like that person's face was way too big, right? Like just the skull itself was way too big. They don't really show. Which is
funny because I'm pretty sure that Neanderthal skulls were smaller.
Right. No. Neanderthal skulls were bigger. You know, they were bigger
than ours.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Positive.
90%.
All right.
Yeah, but I'll
do a little research on that. But I was pretty sure that like early man was smaller than we were because they had that like primate like.
I thought they were. I mean, here's.
I could be wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I can Google it quick and see if that was the thing. But I thought they were bigger. But
because I think I remember being surprised because I thought they were bigger myself, and then I heard. And I don't know like what I was watching, but I think I saw like a comparison and it was like smaller or whatever. So, I mean, if that was the case, then you have these things that are bigger. That means that they existed not at the same time, but near that time. So that means like either they had like a super growth spurt and then we got smaller together.
Mm-hmm.
What are we looking at?
So these are actually right here Neanderthal brains. They're saying that they did have bigger skulls and bigger brains, but they weren't smarter. That's what they're gathering from this right here. Like that's a human skull. That's a Neanderthal skull. So okay. It was actually bigger.
All right.
So they were bigger, but it didn't necessarily make them smarter apparently. But
So then at that time.
Yeah. So okay. It's possible that the skulls were bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just hadn't evolved to the smaller version that we are. So it's not altogether abnormal to me that that's the case.
Right.
There
are some that are abnormally big where it's like, well, that's huge, you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
You literally see it next to a human skull and it's crazy. I mean, yeah, I think it's super weird that the skulls were like that. There's theories.
But the shape of the skull,
like,
yeah. So like it's elongated and stuff like that, but it's not like a perfect oval, or it doesn't look like it was naturally formed that way. You can actually see lumps.
Yeah.
And those lumps are basically like, if you look at a skull, you can see the lines where the skull comes together,
yeah.
And the plates it actually forms, like form, yeah. and seal up. Though it looks like those plates are all just kind of like moved to a different location,
yeah,
and they've grown into each other,
right.
So like it doesn't look like anything abnormal except for the placement of the plates.
Yeah, no, I mean that I agree. But you wonder like how the plates stretch like that and move, you know, if they were to actually move, like how does that affect brain development though?
Right.
That's my big thing though. It's like, if you're putting pressure on different parts of your brain where there aren't supposed to be pressure, that affects like mobility. That affects like, if you put pressure on a certain part of like your like temporal lobe, like it affects like mobility, like, you know what I mean? Like, or sight, or your senses are affected in some way. So the fact that they were different back then is odd, and you wonder why. There's also that crazy theory, too, that, Egyptians had sexual relations with aliens, and that's why they look different and why their skulls are completely different. They are not completely human, and our DNA got mixed, and that's a whole other thing. But, you know,
we got to talk about that.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I mean, I'm not saying that's real. I mean, I think some of that's actually far-fetched too, but it's a theory that has been posed. You know, why are the skulls so different? Like, how much evolution could have actually happened in that time? A lot, but, You know what I mean? There's also scientists out there that post some pretty interesting theories. I think the elongated skulls thing is very interesting, though. I would just want to know the reasons behind
it. It's just like how back in the day in feudal Japan and stuff like that, and like China, they would bind their feet.
Yeah.
Because that was attractive, and they want their feet to to stunt the growth of the feet. Small feet were attractive. And so that was something that they did. Did the same thing for the head. And over there, maybe that was attractive to people, and they did that from an early age to make the person more attractive, or maybe it was just a sign of status.
Right.
Right. They got those tribes in Africa where they put the rings on their necks, and their neck is like super freaking long.
And they have like plates in their lips and stuff like that.
It's body, what do they call it?
Dysmorphia.
Deformation.
Deformation. Yeah.
And they do that all over the world, man. They've done it, and they still do it today.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't think that there's anything like super crazy about that. It is interesting.
Yeah, it's super interesting.
Like, why did they do it? What was the reasoning behind it? How did they do it? But I don't think it's like, aliens. I don't think it's genetics, because you have the bone right there. Like, why can't you just do a DNA study and say, is there anything different from that in what we are today?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think the elongated skulls thing is aliens or extraterrestrials. Mm. But I do think it was, some kind of just a change that they implemented. My big question would just be, how do we think that affected brain development? That would be my only question.
I also feel like anything that we can't understand,
mm-hmm.
or anything that we can't explain, or anything that we can't figure out, we just point to it being aliens or ghosts or whatever. It's disturbing to me because I'm pseudo religious, I guess. Like I grew up a Catholic, so I always have that in my background.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't say I'm a super religious person. I don't go to church. I don't practice my religion or anything like that. I'm not like I don't do Lent or anything like that. Like right now, I'm probably gonna eat meat on Friday.
Yeah.
This Friday coming up.
Got you.
Ate a lot of meat last Friday. Yeah. My diet consists of a lot of protein, so that's what it is. I mean, and I do believe, like, if there's a God, I don't think that he would be upset with me for, sustaining myself.
Right, right.
I mean, I don't think he's going to be like, you ate meat on Friday, you're going to hell.
Yeah, yeah.
If there is a hell. So, I mean, I'm on that fence, but there are people that don't believe in God, right? Mm-hmm. They adamantly do not believe that there is a higher power, yet because they can't say it's God or Jesus, they say it's aliens or it's this or it's that. And it's like, well, that's just as ridiculous.
Right, right.
Right?
Yeah, like, I mean,
superheroes, Thanos, Silver Surfer, I mean, if greens and grays can exist, why can't the Silver Surfer exist? You know what I mean? Like, it's like, just, I get that there's these things that happen that point to like, and make you wonder and make you think. And then you have like these people, but the specifics that we get, the outlines and the sketches and the drawings and the this and the that, and like, oh, I got this evidence and I got, this is in a hangar somewhere. And it's like all of those fantastical things that nobody's ever seen,
mm-hmm.
right? That they believe so hardcore in. Why is everything else so like unbelievable? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and we talked about it earlier. I get like, the Silver Surfer was written by Stan Lee and created out of his head, and we know that it's fake. I'm not saying that the Silver Surfer is true, but mm-hmm. he's no more real or fake than mm-hmm. grays and greens. I mean, people have claimed to see them.
Yeah.
But it's all about who you believe and who you want to put your faith in.
Right.
And so that's what I guess what I'm getting at is that it all comes down to faith. If you have faith in it,
mm-hmm.
then I guess, it's as real as your faith makes it.
Gotcha. No, I mean, I think that you definitely bring up a valuable perspective, because there are a lot of people out there that have that same perspective that are like, oh, I think aliens, it's possible, but I think it's also too like fantastical. And like, why, if they're here, why haven't we been able to see this? And like all the questions you just posed.
Mm-hmm.
I think the interesting thing for me is that there's so many, I think it also comes down to the amount of research you do on it. And I'm not saying like, oh, go read books. It's just like, dude, this is something that I've had an interest like for since I was a kid and interesting.
Yeah.
So I read all the books and I watch all the YouTube videos and like, yeah, there's a lot of crap out there. Like, dude, when you go on YouTube, there's like a myriad of stuff you can find and it's hard to kind of sift through it and figure out what's true and what isn't, you know, but there are some things out there that are really hard to kind of say that these are fake because they're like declassified documents that are like literally laying it out there for you. But it's like, you look at these documents and then there are those people that go, oh, well, those are fake. It's like, all right, man. Well, yeah, dude, cool. They're fake. But like, it's also like an official document that was released. I mean, like, I don't know, like, is everything that is possible evidence going to be fake? Because
right, but no, see, you're misconstruing.
I'm not saying that that's what you mean. I was just kind of going on a little bit there.
No, I'm saying, so like, a document is the same to me. I'm just putting it on the table. For me, a document is the same thing as a book, which is the same thing as a novel, right? Like, it doesn't, just because it's written doesn't mean that it's true. You'd like to see that written out black and white, blah, 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 would have a stamp from the government saying this is official. Doesn't prove anything to me. Right?
Yeah,
like,
I know what you're saying. Yeah.
I still want to see something.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And that's what a lot of people feel. Like, yeah, they see all these documents, but they haven't seen anything, which is why they also question them.
Right.
But
I can't say it does serve, in
my opinion, though, some of those things are real enough that they serve as some sort of outline. You're trying to figure it all out, and they're just pieces to the puzzle, which some of might be incorrect, some might be correct.
Like, so I can tell you, prove to me that they exist.
Yeah.
And you can counter, prove to me that they don't. Hmm. And I can't. And you can't. And neither one of us are able to prove our side of the equation, which means that we just got to keep looking. But I'm never going to say, like, oh, a document or a picture or a video that I saw on YouTube that has no other corroboration is going to make me say, oh, I believe now. Yeah. You know what I mean? Or even get me leaning towards believing. I still need scientific evidence, not just.
Yeah, I got you.
Not just something that somebody could fake. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or just, oh, you know, I came up with this story about an alien and I wrote it down and the government said, oh, yeah, it's real.
Nah, man. You know, I mean, like, that's it's.
But I'm gonna declassify it so that everybody can see it now.
Yeah.
What?
I know what you mean.
What?
I think we're definitely gonna get into like government cover-ups because that is like a big part of all this, in my opinion. But dude, good place to end, man. With that being said, I think we're gonna call it this week. We'll see you guys in 2 weeks. Guys, if you're enjoying the podcast, you know, check out our Instagram, Red Bear Podcast, which is under the Nerd Ruckus umbrella. So we have two Instagrams, Red Beard Podcast.
NERDRUCKUS.
And that's it, and Nerd Ruckus. So check out both Instagrams. We post all the time. We'd love to hear you comment. A lot of you guys do, but hey, you know, it's always fun to interact and hear what you think about the episode. And tell us if you believe in this stuff, like why you believe in it, what evidence you've seen, like if you don't believe in it, why you think it's BS. Like, I'm sure it's fun to kind of debate this stuff, man, because we can't really prove or disprove it at this point. It's just an awesome topic.
It is.
And with that being said, we will see you guys in 2 weeks. Later.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to the Red Beard Podcast, which is part of the Nerd Ruckus Network. Please take a moment and like our Facebook page and share your thoughts on the episode as well as what you would like to hear us discuss. Also, give us a follow on Redbeard Podcast and Nerd Ruckus on Instagram and Twitter. And check out nerdruckus.com for all of our entertainment channels.